First, say thanks to the congregation here. Thank you all for the dinner, but more especially for the fellowship. It's been a joy to me to see people from some of the other areas that I've known in years past. It's a joy to be with you, and I dearly appreciate the opportunity to have a part in this meeting and to be able to address those who are assembled today. A good deal of our teaching and preaching is endeavoring to lead people to Jesus, teach them to believe and repent and be baptized. But today my lesson is to those of you who are in Christ, those who are Christians. And the lesson that I am giving you today is not at all original with me. It's a lesson that has been proclaimed over and over and over through the centuries. The Church of Christ has been in existence for almost 2,000 years. And the lesson that I present today is one that was presented by the last living apostle, the one who knew that he was dearly loved by the Lord, and who identified himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. When John was in exile on the barren Isle of Patmos, offshore some 35 miles from Miletus, an angel of the Lord instructed him to write letters to seven of the congregations on the mainland. The church at Smyrna received no rebuke, but instead this admonition that is our lesson for today. Be faithful until death. Or some translations have that, unto death. And I believe the lesson applies both, until death or even to the point of death. During the approximate 2,000 years that the Church of Christ has been in existence, some of us have been blessed to live the Christian life with little or no persecution. For some, it has required more sacrifice than on the part of others, perhaps, because of struggles that they might have to overcome some past filthy habit, or because of family relationships that are problematic, or even swearing remarks from those round about us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for years it's been available to us to meet together and worship with little or no fear of persecution. And our government, thank God, our government has not been a hindrance to us in meeting together. But the Holy Scriptures repeatedly warned about the struggles and persecutions that Christians would face and encouraged the saints to be diligent, steadfast, and faithful in all things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 states that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that was pretty much to be expected in the lives of the early Christians, the early converts. But thanks be to God, we in our nation and in our generation have had religious freedom and opportunities that we have enjoyed. And the church here in the U.S. has so far been almost an exception to that rule that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've been an exception of the generations of people in the past 2,000 years. And you know, I tend to fear that perhaps the lack of opposition that we've had, the lack of persecution, because nobody at this time is arresting us or imprisoning us or slaughtering any of us because of our faith. And some people have perhaps just grown apathetic and think this is the way it ought to be. We are the exception. People sometimes consider, such simple things. Some people in our society, some people in the congregations that we represent, seem to consider that even simple things like church attendance, they take it so casually and find it easy to attend church services when they choose and find something else to do on larger days when they choose to. Faithful church attendance is perhaps the very least thing that we can do to be faithful to the end. It may require some effort and some sacrifice, but it may be the very least that we can do. My lesson today is you be faithful until death. You be faithful unto death. This is an admonition that was given to the church at Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 in your Bible. The church at Smyrna did not receive any rebuke, but they received this admonition: be faithful unto death. The church at Ephesus had left her first love. The Laodicean brethren were disgustingly lukewarm. That may be the case in a lot of our congregations today. Some of our members just lukewarm, not really fervently, zealously serving the Lord. Other congregations that were written to were tolerating sin and evil teaching, false teaching. Of the seven letters that John wrote, only the two, Philadelphia and Smyrna, were without rebuke. Exact timing is difficult to pinpoint. But we believe that Brother Polycarp became an elder of the congregation at Smyrna, this congregation to which there was no rebuke, that they were told to be faithful unto death. We believe that Polycarp became an elder about the same time that John is writing these seven letters, the latter part of the first century, about the turn of the century. Polycarp. No, his name's not in the Bible, but it sure made a mark on history. Years later, after he became an elder, in his late years, Polycarp was given the opportunity to reproach Christ or to be burned at the stake. Polycarp's statement was, 86 years I have served him, and he has never wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King who has saved me? Yes, Polycarp was burned at the stake. It may be that his acquaintance with John, Polycarp was a student of John. an acquaintance of John. Polycarp knew what John went through, the opposition that he faced, the torment, the torture, the exile. Maybe his acquaintance with John and what he went through, and the other apostles, he knew what had happened to the other apostles, no doubt. Maybe knowing these things helped to give him the strength that he had and the boldness that he had, even with the threat of death. Jesus had instructed the apostles back early in the ministry. Jesus had instructed the apostles, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 in your Bible. It might be well for us to acquaint ourselves with that passage. As we see the morals of the world deteriorating, as we see opposition rising against the church, it might be well for you to acquaint yourself with Matthew 10, 28. He told them, "Fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but he who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And it took a while before the apostles gained that strength. It took a while before they were that strong. They were mere men at the time Jesus said that. They were mere men, not yet that mature. They argued among themselves as to who would be the greatest. James and John were of the mind to destroy the Samaritan village where Jesus was not welcome. Peter, in a moment of weakness, the night of Christ's trial, denied him three times. But in the process of time, those men got the lesson. Those men became mature. Those men, yes, we lost Judas, but the others were faithful unto death. The things that they had experienced, they had heard Jesus teaching on the mountain and in the towns and villages of Judea and Samaria and Galilee, by the seashore and in the temple grounds where Jesus' strongest opponents were. They saw his love and his compassion. They saw his miracles. They saw him feed the multitude and walk on the Sea of Galilee and calm the storm and heal the sick and give sight to the blind and even raise the dead. And though Jesus had told them time and time and time again that he must die and rise again, when that hour came and they saw him abused and crucified, they were frustrated, confused, and fearful. But then when they saw him numerous times during that 40-day interval, that 40-day period after his resurrection, when they saw him numerous times, the risen Lord, and when they stood on Mount Carmel, on the Mount of Olives, when they stood on the Mount of Olives, cancel that Mount Carmel, when they stood on the Mount of Olives and saw him ascend back to heaven, and the beings arrayed in white stood by them and assured them, "This Jesus that you saw go into heaven will like manner come again." When the day of Pentecost came, and they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. From that time on, they didn't have those weaknesses. They fully immersed themselves into the work of the gospel, into preaching Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, and the one who will come again. Yes, Judas had fallen, but Matthias was chosen to take his place. And later we have the Apostle Paul. And these men were witnesses of the things that Christ had done. And the experiences that they had with the Savior and the opposition that they confronted gave them, they had absolute confidence and trust in the Lord. They had such confidence and conviction and boldness that they would labor and sacrifice and suffer and even die for the sake of the gospel. They learned to know what it meant to be faithful to the end. We cannot say with certainty the end of all the martyrs that we know of. Oh, we know about Stephen being stoned, Acts chapter 12. We know about James being slain by Herod, Acts chapter 12. We know those things. We believe that Peter and Paul were both put to death in Rome. Peter by crucifixion, Paul by beheading. Philip, Andrew, Jude, Simon the Zealot, and Bartholomew, after Bartholomew had been flayed, young people, skinned alive, if you please. All of those men, we believe, were crucified. Matthew is said to have been slain with a halberd, a battle axe. James, the author of the book of James, beaten, stoned, and clubbed to death. Mark, dragged to death. Thomas thrust through the spear. Luke, hanged. John, imprisoned, tormented, tortured, and exiled. And this was pretty much the pattern of things for many of the early Christians. They expected to be possibly put to death. They realized that situation. And for generations, untold numbers of the saints suffered similar persecution and martyrdom. Go back and read your history. The accounts of untold numbers of our brethren, they were thrown to wild beasts in the Roman Colosseums, or the ones who were crucified or burned at the stake. Not only in Rome, but elsewhere. Mortals have been experts at devising and designing methods of torture and death. And our brethren were victims of many of those items of torture. The latter part of Hebrews chapter 11, the story of faith, you know, all the way from Enoch on down, all the way from Cain, all the way from Abel on down. Those who acted by faith. The latter part of that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews reminds us of the persecution that the saints of the Old Testament endured. And the Messiah hadn't even come yet. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But it mentions the way that they were persecuted, even being sawn in two. And mind you, we're this side of the cross. How much more strength we should have. The 12th chapter of Hebrews begins reminding us of those witnesses and speaks of Jesus enduring the cross. And we are challenged to consider him lest we be weary and discouraged, for we have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. But the Bible is filled with warnings. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, encourages saints to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, the last two verses, I owe those last two verses of Romans chapter 8. Here's the confidence we ought to have. Here's the strength. Here's the fortitude. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Considering what he's done, you be willing to do all for him. For the past few centuries, there's been less severe persecution on Christianity, but it's certainly not unheard of, unknown. And as we now see the world seemingly becoming less godly and more violent than in at least some of the past peaceful times, we call to memory that it's written that in the last days perilous times will come. In that 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, Satan will be released from prison and go forth to deceive the nations again. And the focus of the church, the focus of that devilish influence, will be the camp of the saints. Don't forget it. We've been warned. We've been warned. Time and again we've been warned. And once again, we're hearing on world news of warrings and slaughters by another corrupt religious organization. We cannot know how bad things will get before God stops it all. But my exhortation, my admonition, my lesson today is you be faithful, even unto death. If you spend your entire life serving God under peaceful conditions, don't allow your pursuit for earthly things crowd or have priority over your things of the Lord. Sometimes when things are too easy, we're not as strong as we ought to be. If you spend your entire earth life in relatively peaceful conditions, don't allow your fascination of things of this world to keep you from being faithful to the Lord. Use the opportunity that we have. Don't waste it. Don't let your pursuit of pleasure and earthly things crowd your duties toward God. Have you really thought about the lesson that is there in those teachings of Jesus when he invited men to follow him and one said, "Let me go bury my father first." Or another said, "Let me first bid my family goodbye." Or his story about the wedding feast. The people that were invited to the feast, and one asked to be excused because he'd married a wife, and another had bought oxen and wanted to try them, and one purchased land and wanted to go see it. How much different is that than the excuses that people use for not doing what they ought to do, not attending church services? Or for failing to visit the sick, or not studying the scriptures, or not calling to encourage a weak member, or whatever else it is that they're neglecting. We excuse ourselves. We're busy with this, we're busy with that. Shame on us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Sometimes we fail the Lord drastically. Faithful in all things involves every aspect of your life. Every item of Christian conduct, everything you say, everything you do, what you read, what you fill your mind with, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself. Every aspect of the Christian character. Being honest, being kind, being loving, being pure, being godly in all things. Faithful to the end. However long you're here, and however your life may terminate. Some time ago, for many of us have been longer, some of you more recently, but sometime in the past, you were asked if you believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you answered affirmatively. And on that confession and your repentance from sin, you were baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. And God added you to the church. You became a servant of Jesus Christ. How faithfully have we served him? Ask yourself that question. How faithfully have we served him? And if in the future you ask that same question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And you stand there facing with guns and bayonets, you still give the right question. No, it might not be easy to do, but it's the right thing to do. If you're given the chance to deny Christ and throw your soul away, that's a foolish, foolish decision. It would be well for us to set in our minds, regardless of what comes, I will stand for Christ. Many people have lost their lives. Many people have died rather than deny the Lord. But I suppose there are some who are weak enough that they're more concerned about living a little while longer here than they are living in eternity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all say, we're threatened with guns and bayonets or knives or swords or whatever. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all say something like, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to everyone that believes. Don't ever be ashamed of your Lord. Don't ever be ashamed of your faith. You be faithful unto death. It may cost you a life. That may be the way we leave here. But I have read that blessed are they that die in the Lord. I read, blessed are they that persecute you. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, my lesson today. Whether you live faithfully to the end, or whether you die faithfully for the Lord, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. And any sacrifice that we're called upon to make will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. I urge you to be faithful in all things. The books are going to be opened. We're going to be judged according to the things that we have done. We'll be judged according to our works. Read those last two chapters of the book of Revelation about that holy city. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There won't be any more trials. There won't be any more suffering. There won't be any more persecution. Everything will be glory, hallelujah, in heaven forever and ever. Don't miss it. But you stand an awful strong chance of missing it if you're not faithful to the end. The eternal reward in glory for the faithful outweighs any sacrifice that we can make. Sometimes we sing the song, heaven will be worth it all. That's my lesson. Be faithful. But in closing, let me add this. If you're not in Christ, you have no promise whatsoever of eternal life. If you are of mature age, responsible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized, live for Jesus, and be faithful to the end. That's where the promise is. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 in your Bible. If we can help anybody today, if you're not a Christian, realize how the foolish situation that you're in. When salvation is offered to you, don't refuse it. Don't turn your back on God. He gave His Son to make your salvation possible. Don't reject it. Believe on the Lord. Repent of your sins. Become a Christian. And to those of us who are in Christ, listen to me. Regardless of what comes, be faithful. God bless you. The invitation is extended as we sing our song.